Have you ever been in, say, a Pilates class and felt like the instructor was speaking a completely different language? Or maybe you're just fascinated by how precisely the body moves and you want to really get what's happening under the skin. If that sounds like you, well, you're definitely in the right place today. We're doing a deep dive into the actual language of movement, the anatomical terms, the references that really unlock a new level of understanding. Our mission here is to basically cut through the jargon, give you that shortcut to being really well informed. We're pulling out the key stuff from our sources. We've looked at some great material, practical videos like Brief Sweat Stretch Pilates on YouTube, and also those foundational texts like Trail Guide to the Human Body and Anatomy of Movement, the kind of books you often see recommended for serious movement courses. So the promise is by the end of our chat, you'll have this new vocabulary. You'll be able to describe movement and maybe even feel it with much more clarity.
Yeah, and what's really fascinating here isn't just like memorizing words. It's about understanding why having a common language is so vital, especially with something as complex as the human body. It just makes communication so much clearer, whether you're learning an exercise, talking to a physio about an ache, or even just trying to figure out what you're feeling in your own body. This deep dive hopefully will spark some of those aha moments for you, connecting the terms to what you actually experience. That can really shift your body awareness.
Okay, so to really map the body, understand the mechanics, we need a starting point, right? A universal reference. And that brings us to what's called anatomical position. Think of it like the ground zero for describing anything on the body. Imagine someone standing normally, feet kind of together, arms by their sides, but crucially, palms facing forward, looking straight ahead. Or if they're lying down, it's face up, palms still forward. That's the baseline. Everything else relates back to this.
It's like the body's GPS coordinate system, basically.
Yeah.
Without that agreed upon starting point, imagine trying to describe, I don't know, where exactly a muscle tear is, or the direction of rehab movement. It would be chaos, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Complete confusion. So anatomical position just standardizes everything. A fixed universal reference. Brilliant, really.
Right. So with that map established, let's get our compass bearings, the terms for direction and location. First, picture that imaginary line splitting you perfectly down the middle, between the eyes, navel, all the way down. That's your midline.
The central axis.
Exactly. So anything closer to that line is medial, or movement towards it is medial. Your belly button, for instance, is medial compared to your hip bone, and the opposite is lateral. That means further away from the midline or moving away to the side, essentially. It's why we call those big back muscles your lats, right? Latissimus dorsi. They're on the sides.
Yeah, it makes sense. And what's neat is how these terms work together. You can say your hand is lateral to your elbow, but your elbow is medial to your hand in that context. It's all relational.
Exactly. Okay, now front and back. Pretty straightforward, these ones. Anterior means closer to the front. Your chest, nose, abs, they're all anterior, and posterior is closer to the back. Think shoulder blades, your glutes, hamstrings, all posterior.
Got it. Front and back covered.
Now let's think vertically, up and down. Superior means closer to the top, or towards the head. So your head is superior to your shoulders, your ribs are superior to your pelvis, and inferior is the opposite, closer to the bottom, towards the feet. Your knees are inferior to your hips, for example.
Superior, inferior, up, down. Makes sense.
And then distance from the main part of your body, the trunk. Proximal means closer to the trunk or closer to where a limb attaches. So your shoulder joint is proximal compared to your elbow joint. And distal means further away from the trunk. Your fingers are distal to your wrist. Your toes are distal to your ankle.
Ah, okay. And this is where it gets powerful, combining them. Like you said, the elbow is proximal to the wrist,
Right.
but it's distal to the shoulder.
Exactly. It depends entirely on what you're comparing it to. Context is everything.
It allows for really precise descriptions of location.
Totally. And one last pair for location. Layers. Surface versus deep. Superficial means closer to the surface, closer to the skin. Like your main chest muscle, the pec major, is superficial compared to your ribs underneath. And deep means, well, deeper, farther from the surface. Your glute minimus muscle is deep compared to the bigger glute maximus. Your heart is deep to your rib cage.
And understanding superficial versus deep is so important, especially like you mentioned in things like Pilates. You're often trying to engage those deeper core muscles, right? The ones closer to the spine for stability. Visualizing those layers helps.
Absolutely. Okay, so now we know where things are. Our internal map is getting clearer. The next logical step is, how do we move through that landscape? Let's shift from just points on the map to the actual routes we take. the planes of movement.
Yeah, think of these like invisible sheets slicing through the body. Each plane defines a particular direction or pathway for movement, and knowing the plane tells you a lot about the action itself.
Okay, first up is the sagittal plane, sometimes called the median plane. This one divides the body vertically into left and right halves, right down that midline we talked about. So movements in this plane are purely forwards and backwards. Think about walking, running, doing a front lunge, a bicep curl, nodding your head. Yes, all sagittal.
Forward and back, got it. Like an arrow shooting forward, Sagittarius.
Nice analogy. Okay, next plane. The frontal plane, also called the coronal plane. This one divides the body vertically too, but into front and back halves. So movements here are side to side, like doing jumping jacks, raising your arm out to the side, a side bend, a side lunge. That's all frontal plane stuff.
Side to side, like you're moving along a wall in front or behind you.
Exactly. And the last one is the transverse plane, or horizontal plane. This one divides the body horizontally into top and bottom halves. Movements in this plane, they're rotational. Twisting, turning your head side to side, twisting your torso, rotating your arm in or out, that's transverse plane movement.
And those twisting movements, they often involve that interesting contralateral work, right? Like your internal oblique on one side, working with the external oblique on the other side to create that rotation. Pretty complex coordination.
Yeah, really sophisticated stuff happening there.
And understanding these planes, it just clicks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If someone says an exercise is primarily sagittal, you immediately know it's about forward-backward motion and stability. Frontal means side stability. Transverse, rotational control. It's like a quick diagnostic tool for analyzing movement.
Okay, so we've got location, we've got the pathways. Let's zoom right in now on the joints themselves and the specific actions they can do. Our joints are amazing, aren't they? The variety of movement is incredible.
Absolutely incredible. And each joint's design dictates its specific range and type of motion. These terms give us the precise language to describe exactly how the bones are moving relative to each other at that joint.
Let's start with a fundamental pair, flexion and extension. Flexion basically means bending a joint. The bones forming the joint get closer together, decreasing the angle, like bending your elbow, bending your knee, curling forward at the hips. Even nodding your chin to your chest is neck flexion. And fun fact, in that anatomical position we started with, most joints are actually considered to be an extension.
Ah, interesting. So extension is the starting point for many joints.
Pretty much. And extension is the opposite of flexion. It means straightening a joint, increasing the angle between the bones, straightening your knee, straightening your elbow, standing up straight from a bent position.
Flexion, decreasing the angle, extension, increasing it. Okay.
Then there's lateral flexion. This one's specific, really just for the spine and neck. It's simply bending sideways, bending your torso to the left or right, or tilting your head towards your shoulder.
Side bending, got it. Spine and neck only.
Now, moving limbs relative to that midline again. Abduction, that's abduction. Movement away from the midline. Think lifting your arm straight out to the side or your leg out to the side. You're abducting it, taking it away. The opposite is adduction, adduction, movement towards the midline, bringing your arm back down to your side or your leg back in. You're adding it back to the body.
Abduct away, adduct toward. Okay, the add helps remember that one.
Yeah, it does. Now for rotation, lateral rotation, sometimes called external rotation. This is rotating a limb outwards away from the midline. Imagine standing with your elbow bent at 90 degrees, then swinging your forearm outwards away from your body. That's lateral rotation at the shoulder. And medial rotation, or internal rotation, is the opposite. Rotating a limb inwards, towards the midline.
Outward rotation, inward rotation. Makes sense.
Yeah.
But these big rotational movements, and another one you mentioned, circumduction. Why only at the shoulder and hip?
Ah, good question. It comes down to the type of joint. Shoulders and hips are ball and socket joints.
Right. The ball fits into the cup-like socket.
Exactly. And that structure allows for movement in, well, pretty much all directions. They're the most mobile joints we have.
Which allows for that unique combination movement.
Precisely. Which is circumduction. This isn't just one simple movement. It's a smooth combination of flexion, extension, abduction, and adduction, all blended together in a circular pathway. Think big arm circles or leg circles like you might do in Pilates with your feet in straps. That's circumduction. And like you pointed out, only possible at those super mobile ball and socket joints, the hip and the shoulder.
Wow. Okay, so that covers the general joint actions.
Yeah, but some body parts have their own, like, special vocabulary, really important for fine-tuning movement. Let's look at the shoulder blades first, the scapula.
Ah, yes, the scapulae. Their movement is subtle but so crucial for shoulder health and posture. Controlling these actions is a big focus in things like Pilates, isn't it? For stability and efficient upper body work.
Totally. Okay, so when your shoulder blades glide towards each other, towards the spine, that's retraction. You often hear cues like, squeeze your shoulder blades together. That's retraction. The opposite, sliding them away from each other, spreading them apart across your back, that's protraction.
Retraction, pinching together. Protraction, spreading apart.
Then moving them up and down, elevation is sliding them upwards, like shrugging your shoulders up towards your ears, and depression is sliding them downwards, away from your ears. The opposite of elevation.
Elevation up, depression down, like an elevator.
Good way to think of it. And finally, for the scapula, rotation. Upward rotation happens when you lift your arm overhead. The bottom tip of the shoulder blade swings upwards and outwards. The trail guidebook uses the analogy of a bell ringing. The bottom of the bell swings up and out. And downward rotation is the return journey as the arm comes back down.
Upward and downward rotation. Got it. Complex little movements back there.
Definitely. Okay, switching gears quickly to the ankle and forearm. They have some special terms too. For the ankle, plantar flexion. Think planting your foot into the earth. It's pointing your toes downwards, like pressing the gas pedal in a car or going up onto your tiptoes. P for point, maybe?
Plantar flexion pointing down.
And the opposite is dorsiflexion. That's lifting your foot up towards your shin, like taking your foot off the gas pedal. The top surface of your foot is the dorsum, so dorsiflexion. Looks a bit like a dorsal fin sometimes.
Dorsiflexion, foot up towards shin, plantar flexion, foot points down.
Now, just quickly, body positions and forearm actions often get mentioned. Lying on your back, face up, that's supine. Think on your spine, lying face down, that's prone. And for your forearms, palms facing up, that's supination. Like you could hold a bowl of soup, palms facing down, that's pronation.
Supine prone for body position, supination pronation for forearm rotation.
Yeah.
And having these specific terms, it just lets us break down complex movements, doesn't it? We can really pinpoint what's happening or what should be happening in a very precise way.
Exactly. Which brings us nicely to our final piece of the puzzle, the engine behind it all. How do our muscles actually do all this? Let's talk muscular contractions.
Right, because muscles don't just pull, they work in really smart ways, responding to tension and resistance differently. Understanding these contraction types helps you feel how you're working during an exercise, not just that you're working.
Okay, first type, concentric contraction. This is probably what most people think of as a muscle working. The muscle shortens as it creates force. The origin and insertion points get closer together. Think of lifting a dumbbell in a bicep curl. The bicep bulges and shortens. That's concentric.
Concentric shortening under tension, the doing phase, often.
Yeah, kind of. Then there's eccentric contraction. This is super important, but maybe less intuitive. Here, the muscle is active, it's generating tension, but it's actually lengthening. Think about the lowering phase of that bicep curl. You're controlling the weight down, right? Your bicep is lengthening, but it's still working hard against gravity. Or slowly lowering yourself into a squat. Your quads are working eccentrically.
Eccentric lengthening under tension, the controlling or resisting phase, crucial for shock absorption and control.
Absolutely crucial. Now, both concentric and eccentric contractions fall under the umbrella of isotonic contractions. Isotonic just means the muscle tension leads to a change in muscle length and therefore movement at the joint. So, most dynamic exercises involve isotonic contraction.
Isotonic movement occurs.
Okay, and the final one, isometric contraction. Iso means same, metric means length. So, same length. Here, the muscle is activated, it's generating tension, but there's no change in its length and no movement occurs at the joint. Holding a plank is the classic example. Your core muscles, shoulder muscles, they're firing like crazy, but nothing's moving. They're contracting isometrically to hold the position.
Isometric muscle working, but no movement, holding steady, and connecting this all back. Understanding these really changes how you approach exercise, doesn't it? If you want power, you might focus on the concentric part. If you want stability, injury prevention, that control, then mastering eccentric and using isometric holds becomes really key. It lets you fine-tune your training based on your goals. It's not just lifting weights, it's understanding how the muscle is working through every part of the movement.
Wow. Okay, what a deep dive that was. We've covered the body's map with anatomical position and directions. We've looked at the pathways of movement through the sagittal, frontal, and transverse planes. We've defined specific joint actions like flexion, extension, abduction, rotation, even those special scapular movements. And finally, we got into how muscles make it all happen with concentric, eccentric, and isometric contractions. You listening right now, you seriously have a much richer vocabulary for understanding movement and really unpacking all this. It's more than just learning terms, isn't it? It's gaining this deeper appreciation for just how incredible the human body is.
Absolutely. It's not just knowledge for knowledge's sake. It's genuinely empowering. It helps you understand its structures better, figure out what you're feeling in your own body, maybe even move more safely and effectively. So here's a final thought, maybe a question to ponder. The next time you do something simple, reach for a mug, step up onto a curb, maybe hold a challenging yoga or Pilates, just pause for a second. Try to mentally apply some of these terms. What planes are you moving through? Is that muscle contracting concentrically or eccentrically? Where are your shoulder blades? How does having this language actually change your awareness of your body moving through space? And what else might you want to explore about this amazing machine you live in?